Golf Smarter number 113 for February 12, 2008.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Playing a round of golf with sports legends.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week we tap the best minds in golf to help lower your scores with tips, drills, insights, and advice. In conversation with course pros, architects, authors, players, teaching gurus, and coaches, here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading another episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast. We are the mobile Golf Smarter Podcast today, and we're at the Par and Poker Celebrity Challenge for Charity in the Phoenix area, and it is Super Bowl weekend, so there's going to be a lot of interesting players that we play with today that come from professional sports in football, baseball, basketball, hockey, and there's some big-name players, Hall of Famers, World Series winners, Super Bowl winners. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to some of them throughout the day, and I'm not going to give you any clues because I'm not really sure who it's going to be. So strangely enough, I get to play in a celebrity golf tournament because of the Golf Smarter Podcast? I think so. But they still don't know who I am, and that's fine, too. We'll see what happens throughout the day. Well, I think the best place to start today is to talk to Andy Walker, who's the executive director of today's event, correct?
That's correct, and I'd like to thank everybody for coming out and joining us today.
So tell me about the event before we get started. Give me a little background of what the event is and who the charity's for.
The event's called Fort McDowell Casino's Par and Poker Celebrity Challenge for Charity, presented by Grey Goose. It's a long name, isn't it? But
you got to get the sponsors' names in.
We had to get that plug in for everybody, so I hope they heard. We're having a golf and poker tournament today. We have a lot of the top-name celebrities out here. We're on the range now with the celebs warming up and our sponsors, and it's actually really busy. It's a lot busier than we thought it'd be at this time of the morning. The golf tournament, the funds raised from the golf and poker tournament can go to help Seth Joyner, myself and Leonard Walker, my brother, have a foundation called the Joyner Walker Foundation Incorporated, where we help out kids with financial literacy, interviewing skills, resume building, and the like. And we're also going to be helping out the Greater Phoenix Urban Leagues, Phoenix Sports Commission, other charities here that help out kids here in Phoenix. Here comes Seth actually walking up right now. And so, you know, we're just really trying to gather the guys together now and have a good time and raise a lot of money for a good cause.
Tell me some of the people that you have planned today that have committed and are already here.
Well, we have Dr. J's been a big draw. Celebrity host is standing right by me, Seth Joyner. Ozzie Smith has been a great draw. I'm looking at Truck Robinson, Marcus Allen, Claude Lemieux, standing right here behind us, Julius Erving, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And the list goes down the line. We have Eric Dickerson, Rob Moore, Chili Davis hitting balls right there. So we're pretty excited about the turnout and happy that we got these guys to commit themselves for the day.
All right, so here's what I want you to do, because you don't come from executive director background. You come from a golf background. You got Dr. J right here standing, teeing up some balls on his brush tees. I want you to analyze a swing for us. Tell us what you see. Come on. When he hits a ball. He's here talking to Seth right now, but he's stepping up to hit his driver another time. He probably has an extended length shaft on this one. I would think so, huh?
Okay, let's see. Well, he's walking
away. He's walking away. I think he heard me ask. So tell me about your golf background, because like I said, you're not an executive director type, right?
Right. I'm a professional golfer. Grew up here playing golf in Phoenix, Arizona, and played collegiately at Pepperdine University, where I was part of the NCAA championship winning team there. And turned pro, played everywhere, from the PGA Tour, Nationwide Tour, over in Europe, South America, Canada, everywhere. I'm, I guess, what they call a golf journeyman. So I had to take the golf hat off and put the executive director hat on. Well, here goes Julius. Let's see. Let's start analyzing. He's playing a ping driver. He sets up to it good, nice and athletic, and just smashed one about 265 right down the pipe. So he's a big dude, so I'm not going to say anything wrong about his swing because I don't want him hitting me with that club. But obviously it looks like he plays a lot of golf. He looks comfortable over the ball, you know, a good natural wrist break, which is hard to teach. Takes the club back good on plane. If I had worked with him, I'd have him releasing the club a little bit earlier and coming from a little different path. But, you know, he looks like he knows how to get it done.
So for these players, I'm sure they do a lot of these celebrity tournaments, and there's people out here trying to get autographs and photographs of people. What kind of advice do you give to these amateurs to come out? And obviously it's a scramble format. There's not a lot of pressure here, but how to keep their head focused in what we're doing today and not be distracted by the crowd?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of our sponsors have come in, have played in a lot of these types of events, so they know what to expect. They're not too much awestruck, even though we are a little bit. Everyone, you know, even the guys that I know that I'm seeing out here, it's pretty fun watching them all gathered in one place. You know, my main thing is if the guys come out and have fun, our celebrities are more than generous and willing to hang out and talk with them. I mean, they're donating their time all day to play golf with them. So I think the guys realize that, and they're just all out to have fun together.
Hey, thanks so much for inviting me out here today, and this is really exciting. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's warming up finally here. You don't expect it to be this cold in the Phoenix area, but it's going to be warm and beautiful day. And thanks again, and good luck.
Thanks for having me, and I hope you enjoy your day and your celebrity day.
All right, I'm here with Seth Joyner, who is not a golfer but's got the swing and is also one of the directors of today's event, and probably we're fundamental in getting a lot of these people coming out here today, huh?
Well, I won't take all the credit, but, you know, a lot of these guys have been friends of mine for a long time, guys that I've played against, played with, a lot of guys that, you know, I've admired over the years, and, you know, I got relationships with them, and the great thing is, you know, when I called them early on, very early on, they basically stepped up and said, hey, you know, I'll be there for you.
That's awesome. So let's give the audience here, because it's a golf audience, a little bit about your background in professional sports.
Well, professional sports, I started off in Philadelphia, played 8 years with the Eagles, and then I moved on and came down here and played with the Cardinals for 3 years. And when I got done here, I went to Green Bay, played in Super Bowl 32 with Green Bay, lost to Denver.
Sorry.
And I got traded to Denver the following year where they repeated, and I won a championship with Denver, and then I decided to call it a career.
How long have you been playing golf?
Oh, my goodness. I've probably been playing golf since 90 or so, 1990.
And which sport is harder? I mean, I know you get hit harder in playing football, but do you enjoy playing golf? Do you find it a very difficult sport?
Well, golf brings me great joy now, you know, that I'm retired from football. You know, football is what I do. It's in my blood. Golf is something that I love to do. I'm competitive as far as it's concerned. I've turned into quite the student of the game. And I just like, you know, everything that the game of golf embodies. I wish I had grown up playing it, you know, my entire life.
Do you think it would have had an impact if you started playing when you were young as the type of athlete you were professionally?
Probably not, because, you know, I played all sports. I did not, you know, I wasn't like a one athlete, one sport type of guy. You know, I played everything. Played baseball, basketball, football, ran track, wrestled. I did everything. So I think that you know, golf would have just been something to teach me something a little different. There's some sports I wish I had an opportunity to play, like lacrosse, knowing how important, you know, for just skills, you know, those types of different sports are.
Let's talk about your game. What do you find to be the best part of your game, your golf game?
Probably my wedges, my, you know, short irons. And a lot really depends on where I'm at a particular time. I haven't been playing a lot of golf because we've been putting a lot of energy and a lot of time into this. But when I'm playing consistently, the good days, you know, I'm driving it well. When I'm driving it well, I usually play well. On the days when I'm having a tough time, you know, keeping the ball in play, obviously, you know, the scores aren't that good. But I think, you know, my wedges, you know, my chipping. And at times, you know, when the putter gets hot, that's probably the best part of my game.
Which is the game part of your game that concerns you the most, especially coming out today where everyone's going to be looking towards you because this is your event? So,
well, what concerns me the most is the driving, because, you know, when you don't play, it's hard to – that long club is the club that, you know, really gives you the hardest time. So, you know, if I can get that club under control today, I'll be all right.
Thanks so much, man. Good luck today. Thanks. And really appreciate being invited out here today. And
pleasure,
good
man.
Luck to you.
Thanks for coming.
With Dr. Julius Irving playing golf today, wearing long pants. How's your game?
You know, I'm a middle handicapped guy. I have my moments out there. I have my moments where I put three or four good holes together, and it seems like I know what I'm doing. Then there's other times when it seems like you never swung a golf club. I guess that's golf.
It is golf. Do you have, are you like most of us middle handicap players out there that have the love-hate relationship with the game, but you keep, it keeps drawing you back, and why?
I haven't hated it. You know, I did program myself a long time ago to not hate the game. I have love for it. There's some times when I don't like it very much. I don't like what I'm doing out there, and it's you know, a little disappointing more than frustrating. But, you know, I'll never hate the game of golf. I think it's just not in my nature to be a hater.
How much of the mental game comes into play for you? Or are you just going to go out there, look at your target, and swing?
Pretty much look at the target and then try to deliver the shot, you know, manage the course a little bit. Young man named Chase over here is my caddy, so we'll learn a little bit about each other as we go along, and hopefully he can help get me around the course.
Nothing at stake today. It's just out to have some fun and do some work for charity, which you probably get a lot of calls like that.
Yeah, doing work for charity. There is something at stake because, you know, there's a lot of guys here who I have to deal with away from the golf course, and, you know, I'm sure before the round starts, a couple of them might come by and say, hey, man, you want to match cards after the round? So we'll see how we handle that.
All right, what are your expectations for today?
Well, if I can keep it in the 80s, if I can threaten to break 80, I want to definitely be below 90. If I can threaten to break 80, then I'll be satisfied because that'll be a good round for me.
It's a scramble today, so you get – but they're playing on your drives, is that right?
I don't know. I haven't become aware of the format yet. I need to check on that.
I overheard someone saying it's a scramble format and it's a celebrity's ball that gets played.
Okay.
Is that extra pressure?
Every time?
I don't know. I hope not.
Well, I'm sure I'm going to put some balls in play. Maybe not 18 out of 18, but we'll see what happens.
Have a great time today. Thanks so much.
All right. Good talking to you.
All right, well, we've just completed about 14 holes, I guess, and each group that goes out, each foursome, has their own celebrity playing partner, and ours is Paul Sorrento. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you. And interesting, let's do a little background check here. You played Major League Baseball, and I know that you have, you're not wearing it, but I know you have at least one World Series ring. Is that true?
It is. 1991, I was fortunate enough to play for Minnesota. And we ended up beating the Braves in a really good series.
One of the best ever.
Yeah.
The 91 series against Braves, 7 games, Kirby Puckett, Jack Morris. You guys had some players in the Kirby. God, I love Kirby. But
it was a great series. Two or three one-run games, a couple extra inning games, 7-game series. For me, it was a great thrill to be a part of. I got to go back in 95, but we were on the wrong end of it. We ended up losing and didn't have as fond as memories, obviously, but it was a good ride.
Well, but that was baseball and this is golf. And I would suspect that baseball is an easier sport for you than this.
Yeah, definitely.
No comment on how you're playing today, though.
I feel like slitting my wrist right now. But yeah, baseball came a little easier, but golf's a fun sport, and we're out here for a good cause, so yeah. it makes it worth the while.
There is a love affair for baseball players and golf, isn't there?
I think so. You know, I think it's a real challenging sport, and I think a lot of people who fall in love with it is for that reason. You know, it's just so challenging, and it'll drive you crazy, but you hit that one good shot, it makes you come back the next day, so hopefully I can hit that one good shot today, Fred.
Well, we don't have to use your ball every time, so we're doing all right. Do you have any strategy when you go out and play, or are you just a rip it and grip it kind of guy?
Yeah,
or
no.
Is that a grip it and rip it type of guy?
Yeah no, just kind of. Actually, you know, I don't set the bar too high for myself. You know, I like to go out, have fun, just relax, and you know, just kind of go out there and basically just try to square that little ball up. That's hard enough to
and it's not moving. What a very different thing, huh?
I would think from playing baseball to hit a stationary object would be easy, but that's pretty hard.
I guess for baseball players, the fact that you go into a city for a couple days and, you know, when you were playing, you know, you have a home stand, so you're there, and mostly you're playing at night. So do a lot of players travel with clubs?
I would say position players, no. It's too hard of a grind during the year. Maybe on an off day you may pick them up, but I see it was funny because I used to see a lot of pitchers with them. But position players, I just think it's just too hard of a grind during the year. It's just too much on your day off. You pretty much want to relax. So the golf sticks get put up for the 6 or 7 months.
So what are you doing these days?
Just kind of being a dad. Do a little radio stuff with the Seattle Mariners. So that's keeping me busy and dabbling in a little real estate. So
baseball was good for you, huh?
Yeah, baseball was very good to me, to steal a line from somebody.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I feel fortunate to where I'm at. I wouldn't change anything for the world. Pretty fortunate to have a career. Got to play, like you said, in a couple World Series. Got to win one, a couple other playoffs. So I wouldn't change a thing.
Thanks, buddy. Good luck the rest of the round.
Okay, thanks, friend.
I think it's my shot.
Did you tee off?
Not yet. I've had my chances. No pressure here. No, my playing partner, New York City cop. That's pressure.
Sure.
I think it's fair that we have to come back because that hole, you and I drove, you drove the ball a monster, but he ended up in the bunker. But
got a par out of it, salvaged. Bad birdie putt, though, left
it
about.
Well, yeah, but you got to talk about that shot that you had of the bunker because that was not a close bunker shot.
No, it was kind of tough, but I guess a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So.
How far were you away from the green?
70.
Were you really? Yeah. So what'd you play?
7-iron.
Played a 7-iron, buck 70 from the sand. You put it right in the green.
Kind of like Tiger on that one tournament. Remember when he hit the 6-iron?
I thought it looked familiar. And now we're here with Brett Saberhagen, former Major League pitcher for a number of different teams. Brett, I've talked to a couple athletes today who talked about how golf was better for pitchers than it was for position players while in their career. Did you get to play a lot of golf when you were playing baseball too?
Well, I think the big thing is when you're playing that the pitchers have, especially the starting pitchers have, 4 days rest in between starts. There's a lot of workouts and doing that stuff, but the position players need to be out there each and every day playing in a game, and that, and the last thing you want to do is be playing golf, you know, two or three times a week, and by the time you get out to the field you're tired. So you know, pitchers usually get up early, get out early, and get back by 12 o'clock, have a little lunch, and go out to the field. But we're not out on the field that night, so we usually get a couple rounds in, per road trip. So a lot of teams don't have a problem with you taking clubs on the road. Some teams do. So it was definitely a pitcher's sport while you were playing.
You grew up in Southern California, so you had the opportunity to play golf 12 months a year. When did you start playing?
I didn't pick up the game until I started playing pro ball, so... But it's been many years. 1983, I think, was the first time I started swinging a club. Everybody was doing it. It was a good way to pass some time. It was there were many frustrating years in there. It's gotten better, but you always want to play better every time you go out.
When you started playing, did you get hooked immediately, or did it take you a while to warm up to it?
No, it's one of those things that definitely grabs you. It's one of those things that's very frustrating a lot of times because the ball's not moving. It's sitting still. And then you start getting into the mental part of it and not letting the course play you. You got to play the course. So there's a lot of things that go into it, and the competition is another thing. And it's a great, great sport.
And you're competing with so many things. It's not just against the opposition, the players, but you got the course and the clubs and the conditions. I mean, there's so much that goes into a round of golf.
Yeah, you can play the same course 3-4 days in a row, and you can have different outcomes because of Mother Nature and so on and so forth. So, it really is a great game, and you really appreciate how good the professional golfers are and how special they are, what they can do with the ball, and it's amazing.
Have you ever taken lessons?
Never taken any lessons. I've had some friends that when I first started playing that were pretty good golfers and kind of worked on things with me. They just work on the game here and there.
So do you ever find that there's aspects of your game that you feel that you're frustrated with, or is it just very easy for you? Does it all come naturally for you?
No, it all can be frustrating at times. So, there's not too many days that it's all working. So you go out and you work on the things that you need to. But the short game, I think, is the biggest component of golf. If you're good around the greens and putting, you're going to save a lot of strokes. And I found that's what really got me from a double-digit handicap to a single-digit handicap. So making a lot more putts and being good up and around the greens.
What's the best part of your game? When you know, in a sense of, okay, this is the shot that I want to have, what club you really want to go after?
I wouldn't say any one part of my game is better than any other part. Between getting off the tee, they're all right. Nothing's great about my game. I'm kind of like a guy that I don't mind hitting funky shots and creating shots because I'm used to it, I guess. It'd be a boring game, I guess, if you're down the fairway every shot. It's all right.
How'd you like Weekapa?
Awesome course. Greens were a little hard. They didn't hold all that well, but the ball rolled well. They were true. The course is in great shape. We'd like to get out and play it again.
It was great talking to you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And we're here with Jim McMahon, a former NFL star who's had his appearance in the Super Bowl. We're here at Super Bowl weekend. But let's talk about golf. How'd you enjoy Weekapa today?
It's a beautiful golf course. I enjoyed playing it. Unfortunately, my score didn't reflect how well the course is. But I've never been this far east on Shea Boulevard before. This is a really nice property, and I look forward to coming back.
So tell me, this really wasn't fair for the stars who are here today. You had to play every shot, right?
Yeah, we did play our own ball. You know, it's not a very long course, you know, if you look on the scorecard, but it plays longer than it really is. And then the winds weren't too bad, but, you know, it's just one of those days where nothing really went in the hole.
So and you talk about it wasn't a very good day for you when you generally play. I mean, do you play very much, or you just occasionally when you get invited?
I play a lot of golf. But I had a good group of people, had a lot of fun, and I don't think we won anything, but we had a lot of laughs.
As a quarterback on the football field, do you quarterback yourself through a golf course? Do you find using strategy, or you just grab a club and go for it?
Yeah, there's no strategy involved. You just... You know, you go hit it in the weeds and try to find it and hit it again.
There's no weeds here. This is rattlesnakes and cactus.
Hitting the cactus, and I had a lot of cactus today.
Let me see. Check your pants here and see what you got sticking on.
My shoes on a bunch today. I usually don't play with shoes, but I had to keep wearing them.
How long have you been playing golf?
I started messing around with golf probably in 79, 80.
So just during your career, just after?
That was my junior in college. Started messing around with it. And then once I got into the pros, we played, you know, at least once a week. Mm-hmm. And then when the celebrity tour started back in 90, guys started getting serious about their games. I didn't, but got to play more. So, you know, the more you play, the better you're going to get, supposedly.
Supposedly, right. But do you find golf to be a mental game in a way that football was not?
Golf's all mental. I mean, you have to be brain dead to be good at golf. I mean, you just have to just forget everything. I couldn't forget my first three putt of the day. So that ruined me on the first hole.
Oh, no. Is that really? You started with a three putt?
Oh, I start every week for the three putt, no matter where I put it.
Oh, man. Do you get to travel around and play a lot?
I play all over the country. Actually, all over the world I've played golf. And it's just love doing it. Love coming out and supporting my friends like Seth Joyner. And good to see all of my old buddies out here today. So.
It was great. Last question. 19-0. Is it possible?
It's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible, but I think the Giants have a good shot.
I think it's going to be a great game.
I'd love to see the Giants win just because I'm not a Bill Belichick fan. So.
Tell it like it is. As always, Jim McMahon, thanks so much, man. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks.
I've just been informed that I can't let you go, that you have a Jim McMahon clothing line for golf.
It's actually called Swangwear, Swang Wear. It's golf shirts, T-shirts, shorts, sunglasses, flip-flops, a lot of, you know, just casual stuff.
Well, this is actually
barbecue
a golf...
Barbecue sauce. I've actually got barbecue sauce.
So when you stain your clothes, it wipes right off.
Yeah. Good dry cleaner.
This is actually a golf podcast that goes out all over the world. So where can we find your clothes on the web?
On the website, www.swangwear.com. come visit us on the web.
Okay, and Jimmy Mann will be waiting there for you to greet you and give you some love
there. I'll pop off my porn site. And
gotta love the internet.
It's all about swanging.
Yeah, where did swang come from?
Well, our friends are swangers, and we...
Well, I hope you had as much fun joining me for that afternoon as I had playing. Luckily, it was a scramble, so I didn't have to pay attention to my round, which, frankly, was dreadful. As for the conversation that we had with Jim McMahon, I've been to their site, and they actually have some really nice golf gear, apparel, eyewear, accessories, and if you can believe this, Wild No. 9 barbecue sauces. And if you don't remember or are not a football fan, Jim McMahon led the Chicago Bears to a championship at Super Bowl XX in 1985. He earned another Super Bowl ring with the Packers in 96, but he'll always be remembered for what he did with the Bears. What you may not know about Jimmy Mack is he's a very giving person who visits our troops overseas and makes sure that a portion of all revenues generated from swangware.com go to charities that he's very involved in. So check this out. They have graciously invited Golf Smarter listeners to shop at their site, and you'll receive a discount and freebies. So good. Hey, now I keep telling you, membership has its privileges. So here's the deal. Go to swangware.com/golfsmarter. Swangware is swangware.com/golfsmarter, and you'll receive 10% off your order, plus your choice of a Swangware bucket hat or a bottle of the Wild No. 9 barbecue sauce for free. So along with 10% savings, you'll get about $30 in free gifts. Again, it's swangware.com/golfsmarter, or just check out the Golf Smarter blog, and we'll include a link there that will get you to their special page. Hey, we also have a couple of great giveaways going on right now. Register to win a customized Couture Golf putter, courtesy of couturegolf.com. That was from Todd Sones, and who we talked to in the last episode about Couture Golf and Impact Golf Schools. Deadline for entry on the Couture Golf putter is noon, Friday, February 29th, and we'll announce the winner on the Golf Smarter episode of March 4th, 2008. And you know, we're also giving away a tailor-made burner driver on Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Deadline for entries for that is Wednesday, February 20th, 2008, and we'll announce the show next time on the next episode of Golf Better with Kenny Nicholson. As always, go to GolfSmarterPodcast.com and click on the tab labeled Contest. Once there, you'll have a choice of the different prizes, fill out all your information and the verification code, and click Submit. You must submit each entry separately. And if you haven't heard yet, Ask Kenny is now every 2 weeks on the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf podcast. So if you have a question, just click on the Ask Kenny tab at GolfSmarterPodcast.com. And if we use your question on the show, you'll receive a free Golf Smarter Edwin Watts golf hat. Next up on Golf Smarter, we'll talk to Jennifer Monroe about how to assess different golf personalities, which can be very useful if you're competing for money and if you're doing business on the course. Really interesting conversation with Jennifer, so that's next episode. This week's quote comes from John Leland, who writes the blog thejoyofgolfing.com. He found this quote in a New York Tribune back in 1916, and it goes like this. Golf is in part a game, but only in part. It is also in part a religion, a fever, a vice, a mirage, a frenzy, a fear, an abscess, a joy, a thrill, a pest, a disease, an uplift, a brooding, a melancholy, a dream of yesterday, and a hope for tomorrow. If you have any questions, comments, quotes, or requests, please click on the Hey Fred button at GolfSmarterPodcast.com.
Hi, this is Kirk Jones. Join me weekly on Golf Smarter Tips Podcast. Each week, I'll give you tips and advice that will make your golf swing modernized and simplified. Are you having trouble with your grip or confused about your ball flight? Tune in for these answers and more on Golf Smarter Tips Podcast, free on iTunes or GolfSmarterTips.com.